Hello, this is Bare Naked Politics. This is where you want to come to have everything in the news explained and made sense of without adding any stress to your life, or I should say any further stress to your life, because it's 2020, everyone's having a terrible time. And also, I'm never going to just assume that you're already some sort of political expert. I'm going to put it to you simply and easily. So it's a good place to be. This is the Politics Podcast for people who hate politics podcasts, and I'm Julia Bell. Today, I want to run through the latest news that we have had, dare I say, a bit of a breakthrough in the hunt for a COVID vaccine. Is the problem solved? No. No, it's not. Before you start jumping for joy, the Prime Minister was at pains to make sure that we didn't get ahead of ourselves, but I'm going to allow myself to be mildly optimistic. That's the best we can hope for in 2020, is mild optimism. Forget joy and hope, but mild optimism is what we can aim to achieve. And I'm going to allow myself to feel that feeling, because this breakthrough kind of proves that it can be done. We can eventually assume that at some point someone's going to put a thing in our arm that's going to cure us or prevent this fucking virus. But anyway, let's get you cleared up on what the story is in full and when, if ever, we will be able to return to normal life. Okay, so on the evening of Monday, the 9th of November, the Prime Minister held yet another COVID press conference. I'm so excited for these to not be a thing anymore. But this time, he did share some more optimistic news than usual.
The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has been tested on over 40,000 volunteers, and interim results suggest it is proving 90% effective at protecting people against the virus. But we haven't yet seen the full safety data, and these findings also need to be peer-reviewed. So we've cleared one significant hurdle, but there are several more to go before we know the vaccine can be used.
So there you go, a COVID vaccine that's been tested on over 40,000 people and has proven 90% effective. And it's from a company called Pfizer-BioNTech. I hope I'm saying that right. Every single journalist that I've heard talk about this thing has pronounced it differently. And that's what I've landed on, Pfizer-BioNTech. And listen, this vaccine has not passed the relevant safety checks. You heard him say there's loads of hurdles to go through before things get approved and authorised by various bodies and regulators. But it's something, isn't it? We're not at the stage where we can start booking in jab appointments, but it's something to hold on to cling on to. So what do we do with this information at this point? To be honest, nothing. At this point, nothing. The Prime Minister kept stressing the importance of us all containing ourselves about it.
We absolutely cannot rely on this news as a solution, and the biggest mistake we could make now would be to slacken our resolve at a critical moment. Because on Friday, Sage reported that the R is above one in England, and we're heading towards the levels of the previous peak.
There we go. You hear a bit of good news, and then you hear a bit of bad news, like a shit sandwich, or like a, it's not a sandwich because it's got two layers. A shit canapé. A shit canapé. So you heard him there, more than 40,000 people. To be precise, it's more like 43,000 people have been given the vaccine in six countries, including the US. And there's been no safety concerns. They've raised no safety concerns. Yes, small side effects have been noted, but nothing that's out of the ordinary for a vaccine. You know, even the flu vaccine has side effects, and, you know, people are getting that as we speak. If this particular vaccine, so the Pfizer-BioNTech one, if it's rolled out across the UK, then you can expect it to involve two injections that you have to book in 3 weeks apart. So you do one, and then you wait 3 weeks, and then you have the other one. And after that second dose, you're supposedly meant to be immunised after 2 weeks. Meaning if you have your first appointment on the 1st of December, theoretically you'd be good to go by the second week of January. And that's when you'd be, in theory, protected against the virus. So that's that. It all sounds very promising. Not to say that there aren't setbacks. One being that this vaccine needs to be stored at ridiculously cold temperatures. I don't know if you've read about this, but this one needs to be stored below minus 80 degrees Celsius. That could just, in practice, proved to be a logistical nightmare. To think that water, if you've got a regular freezer, you put water in it, it turns to ice if it's below zero. Vodka freezes at minus 24 or around there. Don't ask me why I know that. They're my two reference points, vodka and water. So if that's, you know, vodka, you put that in the freezer in your home and it doesn't freeze, does it? Because it's not cold enough. And to think this vaccine needs to be kept at minus 80, it is a bit nuts. And it's not necessarily the kind of thing that your regular, you know, your regular suburban GP practice is going to have nearby. So that is one thing that the government are probably going to have to invest heavily in, is making sure that we can actually store this thing so that it's safe and so that it works. The other issue, as pointed out by a few of you guys actually on Instagram, including Luke, thank you for your question, Luke, is how long will this vaccine take to distribute? So if it passes all the tests and everyone's happy to approve it, do we actually have physical access to enough of it? And can we therefore get two, because remember it's two doses, can we get two syringes in every arm of every man, woman and child in the UK? So this is what the PM had to say about that at the press conference.
Earlier this year, the UK government ordered 40 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, enough for about a third of the population, since you need two doses each. And that puts us towards the front of the international pack on a per capita basis. And I should add that we've ordered over 300 million doses from five other vaccine candidates as well.
Boris Johnson there, still from Monday the 9th of November, saying we've got 40 million on order. So we're bulk buying there, and 10 million of those will be able to get to us by the end of the year, meaning a further 30 million will be on the way next year. And then in terms of timelines, because obviously the Prime Minister didn't really go into that, here is what the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, had to say.
I've asked the NHS, who are supported by the armed services in this, for deploying the vaccine. I've asked them to be ready from the start of December. Of course, there are many hurdles that still need to be gone over, but we also do need to be ready should a vaccine be licensed and get through all those hurdles and ready to roll it out.
All right, so that was Matt Hancock there saying that, according to him, he's got his ducks in a row. And if this particular Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is approved, then we can get cracking by early December. Granted, there is a healthy degree of scepticism amongst many a political commentator who have witnessed the government promise quite a few things. The term world-beating track and trace system comes to mind that a lot of people have said, not quite. Mr. Boris Johnson, thank you very much. You didn't quite achieve that. So yeah, there's a lot of commentators looking at that saying, do we trust the government to roll this out efficiently and smoothly without hiccups? But if you listen to what the ministers are saying, they're pretty confident that if this vaccine is approved, they can get 10 million vaccines out there this year, in theory, because they're on the way. And look, it's common sense. I don't need to walk you through this, but obviously with more demand than there is supply, there will be a sort of priority list, an eligibility list of those who are entitled to get it. And if you're listening to this and you're under 50 and you don't have any underlying health conditions and you're not a care home worker, because that's obviously a key part of it, then I wouldn't hold my breath for a vaccine within the next few months, even if this particular one is approved and even if the government is unusually efficient at getting this thing rolled out. So then, the big question that I have been asked the most on this particular topic is, what about the anti-vaxxers? What about the people who are either unwilling to trust the vaccine for fear that it's not safe, or the people who take it a step further and believe that vaccines are actively loaded with microchips or secret diseases or alien eggs or whatever it is that's being speculated about? Well, the PM was asked about that as well. So let's quickly play you his perspective on it.
The anti-vax argument holds no water. I think people need to remember that in having a vaccination, you're not just protecting yourself. You're protecting anybody who could get infected by you or your family as a vector of the disease. So I hope very much that people won't be listening to those types of arguments.
He's not always been that diplomatic about anti-vaxxers. Back in July, he called them nuts. That was the word he used when he went to a GP centre and he was talking to one of the members of staff there. In fact, let's just play you the clip because it was quite funny.
Because there's all these anti-vaxxers now, isn't it?
Well, Marina can tell you a little bit about how we've achieved.
There you go. That was Boris Johnson there being much less diplomatic, talking about people who believe in anti-vax theories back in July this year, so a few months ago. And to be honest, even before COVID broke out, back last year in sort of summer 2019, I remember watching an interview with the Prime Minister where, you know, an interviewer asked him about anti-vax parents, particularly, who were refusing to get their kids the MMR jab, the measles, mumps and rubella jab. And he really didn't hold back then either.
Also, I'm afraid people have just been listening to that superstitious mumbo jumbo on the internet, the anti-vax stuff, and thinking that the MMR vaccine is a bad idea. That's wrong. Please get your kids vaccinated, because it's not just the right thing for them, but also, of course, it's the right thing for the whole population, because it might not be your kid that gets it could be somebody else's.
So that was Prime Minister Boris Johnson back in August 2019, and you could tell he was already very frustrated about the anti-vax movement. That particular interview, of course, was in reference to, because it was before COVID was even a thing, it was in reference to parents who wouldn't take their kids to get the MMR jab, and he was frustrated because of the rise in measles cases. I was talking about this whole thing on my Instagram stories the other day, and I was talking about, you know, how many of you guys would be worried about vaccines and have you heard anything crazy on the internet and what have you? And I heard from this friend of mine, Ben, who, it's so random, we worked on this YouTube channel when I first moved down to London. That's how we met. It was about robotics. Like, he was a sort of robotics whiz, and I mean, who knows what the fuck I was doing there. But we worked on this YouTube channel. They never even ended up launching it. But we've stayed in touch ever since, and now he's retraining to be a doctor. And he reached out to me when I was talking about this vaccine thing. And he said, you know, I've actually got real concerns about this. And I've had patients come in and I've, you know, been in the process of vaccinating them, whether it's giving them the flu jab or whatever. And they've protested for reasons that have been mind-boggling. And I asked him, can you come on the pod and can you share some of the things that you've heard? So that's what he did. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good, it's good to see you.
Yeah, you too. It's been a while.
I know. So what are some of the things that people have said when they're kind of protesting getting a vaccine? What are some of the concerns that they've had?
I mean, my main experience is with the flu vaccine, because that's sort of the one we give every year and it's quite common. And I've been involved recently in the flu vaccine clinics that we've done in GP practices in Nottingham. And the main reason people protest is around sort of misinformation, usually, from my experience. Most recently, I had someone say that they saw on Facebook, which is immediately red flag. They saw on Facebook that the flu vaccine had COVID in, so that, you know, they didn't want to get COVID, so they thought they wouldn't go for their flu vaccine. So it's sort of a conspiracy, I guess. Yeah. So the common ones that I've heard are that the government have tried to sneak in MMR sort of vaccinations into the flu vaccine. So there's always been sort of controversy around vaccines and what they do or don't include, but the process to get them approved is so rigorous that, and also the ethics of sneaking something in there is just so wrong.
They would basically have to assume that all doctors and the government and the regulation agencies are all united in trying to con and poison the entire population with stuff that they're not consenting to. I mean, that is mind-blowingly scary idea.
I mean, I wish I had the power to, you know, speed dial Boris and make up a conspiracy theory like that, but it's just not happening. I'm sorry.
If a portion of the population just outright refused to get vaccinated, could that just result in us never being able to return to normal because we can't fully achieve immunity as a society? Is that something that you worried about based on the people that you've had come in?
So I saw something today actually, which said about a third of people in the UK would be very skeptical and hesitant to get the vaccine if it was released. So it's definitely a legitimate concern, because to get sort of enough population coverage to protect everyone, you do need lots of people in the population to get the vaccine. But I think that will largely be the job of sort of the government and Public Health England, really, to give out positive messages around the benefits of getting this vaccine. Mm-hmm. So on a local level, you know, in hospitals, we can encourage people to get it. But the job of convincing the community as a whole to get the vaccine is the job of sort of wider Public Health England. Hopefully people will listen to those positive messages, but any immunity within the population is better than none.
Right.
So, you know, the more the better, but if some people don't get it, you know, you're still doing your part by getting your vaccine.
Yeah. I put out a poll. Actually, I'm interested to see, because I've not checked it yet. I put out a poll on my Instagram just asking people who follow me, would you get it if it came out and it was approved by the relevant bodies? Let's see what people said, actually. 68% said, yes, I would, and 32% said I wouldn't, which is bang on the stat that you read.
Yeah, you're a perfect representation of the British public.
But a lot of these people have gone on to, rather than just answering the poll, they've messaged me, and some of them I know personally, and they are rational, educated, informed people who aren't just saying, no, I don't want to get it because it's all a hoax and they're trying to poison me. They're saying, no, I don't want to get it because it feels rushed. And I'm worried that they might have cut corners and that they're too urgent about this. As someone who is kind of on the inside, you are a medical professional, you're training to be. Is that a fear that you have at all?
I can understand why people are apprehensive. But I don't want to feed into that narrative that because this vaccine has come quickly, it hasn't been investigated properly. I mean, the drug in question, the Pfizer drug that is being investigated, that study has actually included far more people than would usually be involved in a vaccine trial.
Really?
So the reason is, basically, so stage three trials, where the vaccine is at the moment, is the final stage of vaccine trials before a drug is approved by the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration in the US. And usually the final stage trials, depending on the drug, have a couple of thousand participants in.
And this has had 43,000.
Yeah, so this has had, I think 43,500, hasn't it? Somewhere around those numbers. But what that does mean is that they've tested the vaccine on a really quite large number of people, and it wouldn't be allowed to get to this stage if there were any unexpected or severe consequences that meant that the risk of the giving the vaccine outweighed the benefit.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, if and when a vaccine comes out and you're eligible to get it, you're going to be comfortable getting it.
I'll definitely be getting it, yeah.
Okay.
But the important thing to remember is that the safety approval process for the drug to come to market has to go through the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in America. And their main concern isn't getting this drug to market as quick as possible. It's safety, and it's making sure that drug is safe over everything else. And then once they know that drug is safe, their secondary goal is to make sure it works. And they're the main two goals of the FDA. And until they know that it's safe and it works, they won't let it be released.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense when I hear it in those words. But obviously, you know, the minute you read about this, you can't help but come across how much this thing's worth. I mean, the couple behind BioNTech, who worked tremendously hard on this to get it to this point, and people are calling them, you know, the couple that are going to save the world, they are in line to make billions of pounds. And you can't help but wonder, like, oh, is there a motivation there behind every company who's developing these vaccines to get there first, because then they're the ones that are going to make the most orders and therefore the most money? And you can't help but get a little bit confused between, like, what everyone's motivations are.
Yeah, I completely agree. There is a huge amount of money in it. And it's the same with all pharmaceuticals, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's a large amount of money involved with being first to market, and there's a large amount of money to lose if you invest so much in a drug that then it isn't useful. And I guess that's the beauty of having external approval processes. So it's not Pfizer who are deciding whether this drug is safe to use or not. It will be the FDA.
What do you make of the idea of mandatory vaccines?
But over the last sort of 100 years or so, medicine's made a switch from being quite paternalistic, where sort of doctors would tell you what to do and you do it because that's how it was done, to now being a lot more open. And it's now about informed consent. It's about us as medical professionals providing information, and then it's our patient's choice to make the decisions. And I think mandatory vaccination goes against that completely. It breaks the trust that the medical profession as a whole has worked so hard to build with our patients. And so I think ultimately mandatory vaccination is something that would be very harmful. And I think a much better way to do it is just sort of widespread education through sort of public health campaigns. But if you ask us, what would you do? Obviously, some of the experienced consultants might say, oh, yes, well, I get it. But a lot of the juniors would say, listen, it's your decision. I've given you the information. You
so decide. you're not really meant to say, oh, well, I would do this, but it's your choice, because that sways it.
Yeah, I mean, technically, no.
Wow. That must be tough when someone's making a shit decision and you're there going, oh, please don't do that.
Ultimately, if we've given them all the information and they know all the risks and benefits, it's their shit decision to make. All right. Well, really nice speaking to you.
You too.
Speak to you later. Bye.
So that was my friend Ben, who is in the process of training to become a doctor. And it's just really interesting to hear from somebody who is doing routine flu jabs on lots of folks and who is hearing firsthand some of the concerns that people have. And again, I really appreciate that he's not placing the blame on the patients. We are, as human beings, inundated with information constantly. And it is a bit much to expect us to be able to discern, you know, the good from the bad, the true from the false, when we're not experts. We're not political experts, we're not medical experts, we're just trying to live our lives. And it's really nice to know that doctors aren't judging us for that. But it is also a little bit concerning to hear how many people are misinformed and are a little bit stubborn when a medical professional tries to persuade them that the information they've heard is wrong. There was actually one, hang on, I'm going to get my phone, because he messaged me after we had our FaceTime and he said there's one thing that he forgot to say and now I've forgotten what it was. Oh yeah, some people might not get the vaccine, if there's a COVID vaccine, if it comes out, some people might not get it because they don't think COVID's that bad. And I suppose the viewpoint there is, well, I'll just get COVID and I'll get better. And that saves me the bother of having to get a vaccine that I don't fully trust for whatever reason. But that is incredibly short-sighted and it does feel like almost patronising and silly that I'm having to point this out. But you're not getting the vaccine for yourself, love. If you're young and fit and you're not worried about COVID, cool. But the vaccine, the point of the vaccine is so you don't give it to your gran. If everyone gets the vaccine, then they're not contracting the thing and spreading it around without even knowing it. Because you don't necessarily get symptoms straight away when you've got the virus. And I think surely that's obvious to people, or I hope it is. Just in that chat there, I obviously asked Ben what he thought of mandatory vaccines. And he shared the really interesting insight that, well, that kind of breaks every code that a medical professional has in trying to gain trust with their patients. But a few of you have asked me about this, including B on Instagram, who is so supportive, and I just want to give a shout out to Bea because she's always interacting with what I'm doing. But she said, will mandatory vaccines ever be a thing if they develop a efficient COVID vaccine? And Bea, I really, really don't think so. Especially that's kind of even more fueled by what Ben said there. At the moment, UK law actually states that yes, while the government does have the powers to prevent and control and mitigate the spread of a virus, they can't outright force the members of the public to undergo treatment or to get a vaccine. That's not within their power. And again, videos have circulated online claiming that the government are going to do this and that, you know, our human rights are being violated and they're planning to make, you know, force us to go and get these vaccines when they're not even safe and all this crazy stuff. And that's just not true. That really is false. And it is not within the government's jurisdiction to force us to get a vaccine. That really is outlined in law. You are free to go and check that if you don't trust me on that. But B, if that's something you're worried about, I would say it would take such extreme circumstances for us to ever get to that point. The government would be walking through a field of landmines if they ever even considered it. You know, lawyers, human rights lawyers and privacy activists would have a fucking field day if the government even peeped an idea about that. Have they ruled it out? I can't say. I don't know. Probably in cabinet meetings they will have talked about it and then maybe laughed at it and ruled it out. But I don't know. All I can say is that I would be quite shocked if that was ever brought to the table. Let's take one more question before I finish up. Justin on Instagram asked, will you take it knowing that it's been rushed through? Okay, so you're asking me personally if I'll take it. Guys, you know that I'm not meant to take a stance and I'm meant to try to give you all the information without making it personal. But on this, I'm going to go ahead and get off the fence and say, yes, I would. I would take it. And the rushed thing is your projection, isn't it, really? But I am comfortable in the knowledge, you know, after especially what Ben talked about there, that these vaccine developers are not just aiming to make a fast buck. They have to get this thing approved by multiple bodies, including the FDA. And that's not going to just fly without incredible safety precautions. So they can rush it all they like, but the FDA would still be within their powers to say no and to not approve it. Yes, I get that there's a sense of urgency in the world to just deal with this crisis so we can all move on. But I don't think rushed is a fair word. And I would feel confident that if my own doctor and my own friends who are doctors are happy to get this thing in their arm, I'll be first in line as soon as I'm eligible. So there you go. I got off the fence. I took a stance. How often does that happen? And in a more upbeat way to end the episode, I wanted to give you my recommendation of the week. And this week, considering we are now in a lockdown until at least early December, but who knows how long this thing will go on for, I wanted to gift you with 10 binge-worthy political shows for your lockdown. I've put them in order of how good I think they are. And you can see what you think and you can see if you agree with my list. So I've put them in the episode description. It includes comedy, it includes drama, House of Cards, West Wing, The Crown, The Thick of It. It's all on there. Veep. Oh, if you haven't watched Veep, especially now that the US has its first female vice president in the history of time, Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, is a very comedic and scathing depiction of what that might look like. Hopefully it's nowhere near accurate because it's horrendous. But it is a great list of shows and I hope that you enjoy. Let me know if you end up watching one. Let me know what you think. Listen, happy binging. I will be back soon with another episode. Keep in touch with me on Instagram in the meantime, @JuliaBell_X. Also, if you want to support me, if you find these episodes helpful, you can go on my Patreon page and you can become a patron, buy me a coffee. It really helps me keep this thing going. I've put all the details, again, in the episode description. And other than that, thank you so much for listening. You now know everything there is to need to know about vaccines. How fun for you. Have a great week. All right, I'll see you next time. Bye.